Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Ah, yes, it is Monday night. It's Wrestling Inc., and we are just minutes removed from what was a headline-packed Monday Night Raw coming from Austin, Texas. Hello, everybody. I am Justin Labar, and we can't wait to talk to you about a lot that's going on here tonight with Monday Night Raw, what's going on in the pro wrestling world. I'm in hosting, steering the ship tonight. Jack Farmer is off, probably making his hair look even better than normally looks, but I still have my other Jay partner in crime on a Monday night. He is former WWE referee for over 20 plus years. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's a coffee connoisseur. He's refereed an Undertaker's WrestleMania match, and you haven't. He is the wonderful Jimmy Corderas. Jimmy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, it's gonna miss Jack's hair, but other than that, I'm very happy to see our third partner. I don't want to say third. She's top of the list. Sorry, Justin, got to put her ahead of you.
Well, let's be clear. You and I miss a lot of people's hair. Start there. Yes,
well, I feel like I needed to do my hair special because I know Jack always does it nice.
Yeah. So our third tonight. Honored she's joining us. My first time getting to officially work with her. I think the same with you, Jimmy. She does step up the hair game for the Monday Night Trio, so good on that. She is coming to us from Austin, Texas. She is podcasting superstar. If you go onto her social media, which I'll let her plug, I don't know if I think there's like 25 hours that she's podcasting literally around the clock, and it's insane, but that means that she's doing something right because she's in demand. She's must heard, must see. She is the wonderful Emily May. Emily, how are you tonight?
I'm great. I am coming from Austin, Texas, everyone, where Raw happened at Moody Center. So I can tell you all some inside scoop. But I'm so excited to be here with you two and all the Wrestling Inc. friends in the chat. I think I got voted best hair already for tonight.
It's already the polls are open. The results are already coming in. Yeah, I mean, that's dedication. I mean, Emily could have gone and hung out, you know, with Mark Henry and Candice Michelle and Pat McAfee, but she's hanging with J&J. So let's give her some love.
I am.
All right. We appreciate the chat filling up. Everybody, as Jack would say, is starting to find their seat if you're watching live, which we always appreciate those watching live. For those of you checking us out on the audio archive, the audio podcast at your own leisure. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you might be and however you might be enjoying the podcast. All right, let's start with a few news items before we get into Monday Night Raw. Let's start with some updates of some names that we have not seen, some longer than others. First, let's start with Jacob Fatu. Of course, we saw him at SummerSlam make the huge splash from the top rope to the announce table, favoring some part of his lower leg. Always question, is this part of the story? Is this legitimate? PW Insider Elite is saying that the Fatu injury is legit. He was not at SmackDown last Friday, so the Samoan Werewolf appears out for some indefinite amount of time. What that's going to do to storylines, remains to be seen. Emily, before I get to the other WWE star as well, let's just talk about Jacob Fatu real quick, because obviously huge impact since he's came in this bloodline. I don't know about you, but I feel like he's been the most talked about of this Bloodline 2.0. I don't know if that's what WWE wants, but nonetheless, your reaction to where we're at this potential injury that could sideline plans.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was so, when he debuted, it was a huge pop. The fans were ready and he was so over, I think more over in the Bloodline than I think originally expected. He's such an incredible competitor, and this injury is going to sideline him. Again, we don't know for how long, but it's unfortunate because you kind of have to recalibrate, you know, and things happen. You have to recalibrate and kind of figure out what the next steps are for the Bloodline. And you know, I think there was going to be some bigger plans for him sooner than expected, and now they have to, you know, figure things out. But I am, you know, I've watched him on various, in various organizations. So I'm excited to see him shine in the, on this level.
Yeah, Jimmy, I happened to see a photo that had surfaced later that night after SummerSlam. It's somebody had snapped, yeah. I guess a fan that had snapped of him like at a convenience store or something. He was in a walking boot. So
already
like,
in a boot, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so, Jimmy, you've obviously, you've seen, you know, injury's a part of the game. It's not ballet. Mm-hmm. But his injury, this injury is specifically in the context because, you know, sometimes when somebody's injured, you can do things to dance around it. You can still have them just, even if they're in suit or street clothes, mm-hmm. appear. But his very presence is all predicated around him just being a physical savage. And if he can't do that, it would kind of seem like it almost, I don't want to say buries him, but waters him down to have him be on TV if he can't be physical.
No, that's absolutely right. And the other thing, too, is, like you said, it's terrible if anybody gets injured. You don't want to see that from anyone. In this, in a weird way, and I know people are going to take this out of context, so take it easy, everybody on the interweb. This is kind of like a blessing in disguise from a storyline standpoint, because this keeps him and Roman Reigns separated for a longer period of time. If he was part of this story going forward, if Roman were to take care of him this soon, you know what I mean? It would deflate the Bloodline 2.0. Him taking out Solo, him taking out the rest of the Bloodline 2.0 is fine. Now the question mark remains, the Savage, Jacob Fatu, what happens when him and Roman Reigns finally clash? Because like you said, he's the one who's been standing out more than anybody right now. Mm-hmm. And people are really on board with what Jacob Fatu is doing, and they're buying into him. And that's the main thing. So him versus Roman Reigns, I think right now feels like the bigger matchup than him and Solo.
And so
that's Oh, sorry, Justin.
No. I'm going to swing it right back to you. That's interesting that Jimmy said that, because kind of like where I started with you, he's had the bigger impact. I don't know if that's what the WWE booking wanted, but I agree with Jimmy. What say you? That it's like, yeah, I'm more clamoring to see Jacob Fatu have a match against Roman Reigns than I am Solo Sikoa, and I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, this is building, I think, unintentional tension. I think they're building the story without realizing the effect that an injury can have. Sometimes it, like Jimmy said, it can be a blessing where they're like, oh, this is a good thing. We can build some stories, have some really great segments where you see him kind of, you see Jacob Fatu kind of doing some things in the, you know, being the puppet master behind the scenes. And I think he's going to build this power that he has over the Bloodline and potentially against, you know, Roman Reigns. And I think the fans would love to see that.
Absolutely. And so, of course, we'll keep our eye on Friday Night SmackDown. That is where the Bloodline is residing. That's where any news of Jacob Fatu will probably come through. And of course, there is a reaction podcast here in Wrestling Inc. from Friday Night SmackDown. So be sure you have that. Maybe just make sure you subscribe to the channel. You'll have everything. All right. Another star who we have not seen much of lately is AJ Styles. You know, he's had a little hiatus over the summer. PW Insider reports that he is likely having a comeback and is expected back prior to Bash in Berlin, which is the last day of this month. So, Jimmy, you know, we saw AJ. He had the wonderful showing in Lyon, France. I believe it was Lyon, France. That was the Backlash event. We haven't seen much of him since. So I mean, you know, with this depth that we have going on across the main roster, where do you peg AJ Styles at right now?
Right now, that's the interesting thing. Like you said, he had that amazing match with Cody in France during the almost called it a pay-per-view. It's a PLE. You know, here we go again, trying to get those letters right. But that's the difficult part now, trying to find a position for him, because in a stacked roster like it is right now, where does he fit in? You got to figure out. I'd like to see him with Gallows and Anderson, because they did tease that with the faux retirement that he did in his tribute to Mark Henry. But maybe that's a route that they can go, where he could reform a variation of the former Bullet Club in that sense. So, other than that, I don't see where you can peg him in. Maybe he comes in and goes after the United States Championship and someone like an LA Knight, because, you know, LA Knight defeating someone of the stature of an AJ Styles, you know, they can have a hell of a match, a banger, as the kids say nowadays. But, and it would help elevate LA Knight's status as well. Not that he really needs it right now, because he's over big time. So maybe that's a place you can slot him in.
Emily, let me fantasy book with you for a moment here. So as we try to figure out where AJ comes back, and I'm going to kind of blur the lines here of what brand he's on. I mean, if Randy Orton's all of a sudden over on Raw challenging for the world title, we can be loose-lipped on our brand exclusivity. What if, we'll talk about more this other person in depth later, but what if somebody's going to have to stop Big Bronson Reed? And what a credibility checkpoint on his rise if he was to take on somebody like an AJ Styles. That just, you know, as I was thinking tonight as we watch Bronson Reed, which again we'll get into in a little bit in full detail, my mind was going to somebody who's not in that locker room right now to run out and stop him. You know, it's not whoever the locker room right now, nobody's coming to stop him. So whoever is eventually going to be his checkpoint has got to be somebody who is not in that locker room right now, somebody who's returning or somebody who's debuting. And man, what a matchup and what a potential that could be.
Yeah. What's funny is when I was watching Bronson tonight, I was thinking LA Knight would be good to kind of ignite that feud. But AJ or Randy Orton would be, some people mentioned it in the chat, but I feel like either one of them would be good as well to mix some things up.
It's good to have options. It's as we always say, it's an embarrassment of riches right now.
I know there's so much to choose from, which is great.
It's a good problem to have.
Another good problem to have is when you have elite, and that's not a pun intended. Well, when you have future Hall of Fame talent locked down for a long time. Let's go to Fightful Select, learning that it seems like Randy Orton has inked a new contract. This is not a situation where his deal that he signed back in 2019, a 5-year deal then, this is not a situation where we're adding on injury time, because obviously Randy was out for a year and a half. This looks to be a brand new contract to secure him with WWE that's going to keep him there at least till 2029. Emily, I'm not really surprised by this. He, you know, I know we've seen different veterans go to AEW, go to other places when their in-ring careers have wrapped up, but Randy certainly is in that very small category of I just could never see him working anywhere else, even if he doesn't become an agent or a trainer or whatever, even if he's just kind of like an undertaker, he's just a lifer. He has a deal until he's in the grave to be associated with that brand.
100%. I can't see Randy. I know there's always rumors and speculation, but I cannot see Randy Orton going anywhere else. He is a lifer. He has dedicated his life to being at WWE. And I think he would be, I know we're not going to talk John Cena, but I feel like anyone that makes that choice eventually, right, to do that retirement and call it quits for their in-ring career, Randy Orton is such a fountain of information for younger talent coming into the industry. You see them, they're 18, 19 years old getting signed. And then how do you navigate a world that you don't understand necessarily, even though you're an incredible athlete? And he's just a plethora of knowledge. And I think that is in itself, whether he's an agent, producer, you know, backstage presence, that will help immensely down the line. So even past his contract date.
Absolutely. So, Jimmy, you know, you worked with Randy, so I want to kind of lean in a little bit to you on this. Again, we'll talk more about this later in detail. He notes tonight his controversial past and then growing up in front of the WWE audience and growing up within the WWE walls and mistakes he's made and what have you. So that, alongside with, of course, being third generation and his family, having worked for the company over the decades, it just seems like, you know, if there's anybody that could, you know, as WWE's bringing in these NIL athletes, these younger athletes, and like if anybody's there to like speak to the pressures of being a second or third generation star, which there are several of those that are coming that are in the system. Mm-hmm. If anybody's to speak to screwing up on social media, screwing up with company policies, and still making the most of a second or third chance, and like not letting it slip away. I mean, what better? I mean, he could hold a class on all the things he did wrong and how to not do what he did.
Oh, he absolutely could. And he'll admit it himself, all the mistakes that he did make. And part of the problem was, you know, he was a youngster when he came in. Obviously, the pedigree was there and everybody saw it right from the get-go. This guy's a natural. He's got, you talk about it, he had it and then some. They knew it. It's just a problem. It was a maturity thing. He was maybe too young to handle all the pressure that was heaped upon him. And and it played with him a little bit, and he made some mistakes, but he learned from it, he matured from it, and he is what he is today. In my opinion, the most complete, and I know people take this out of context again, the most complete wrestler, pro wrestler on the planet today. And you can make a case for others. There's a bunch out there, but that's my opinion again. And I was fortunate enough to have a chat with him when they were here in Toronto for Money in the Bank. Had a good time catching up on some old things. And he did allude to the fact that he was going to be sticking around for a couple of more years. So maybe those rumors about the contract are true. I don't want to say, I don't want to give away too much of the conversation. But yeah, he looks like he's going to be around for a while. He's going to be a great asset, regardless of what role he takes after that contract is over.
What Jimmy's trying not to say is that he's already been booked to ref Randy's last match in 2029. He's just go ahead and say it, Jimmy.
I won't say it for sure. Maybe he'll be ready for it. I don't know if I could still do it by then.
you could still count to three in 5 years.
It'll be fine. Well, one more.
If Earl could still do it, hell, I can.
Exactly. Exactly. That would be tremendous. That would be.
Yeah. Just take a year leading up to it. Get back into everything. You'll be great. We'll cheer you on. Yeah, you got
we'll
it. You,
awesome. We'll get you on some keto. We'll get you doing something. You'll be ready to go.
Okay, you convinced me.
A few more here on the news before we jump into Raw. I mentioned NIL and young athletes. This is a pretty cool story. So back in 2021, collegiate track and field star named Asai Russell, she joined the WWE's Next in Line program. And now, as we just are coming off of the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris, Russell is a gold medalist as she won the women's 100 meters hurdles final. So very cool. Something for WWE to tout in this program of their nurturing these athletes and from all walks, whether it's track and field, whether it's Mark Henry's son, Jacob Henry, who is a collegiate wrestler at the University of Oklahoma. It is all over. Jimmy, I've spoke to Triple H many a times on the calls or in person, and he says this on the record, and he says it in so many words off the record, to where we don't care who you are and where you're from. We just want talent. Mm-hmm. And this kind of speaks to, like, here's an Olympic track hurdle star. They see raw talent and that, hey, there might be something there that we can then put it in the context and polish it into a sports entertainer / pro wrestler. Pretty cool story for them.
It is a pretty cool story. And like you said, they're looking outside the box. They're not just looking at the indie wrestlers or guys who've been plying the trade for a long, long time now and just haven't had a break. Now they're looking outside to talent that is natural athletes. These from all walks of, like you said, Mark Henry's son, Jacob, even signing, as we found out recently, you know, I got to tell you, knowing Jacob, I know the kid, the apple doesn't fall far from the world's strongest tree. Let me put it that way. He's got a nice personality. I think people are going to really gravitate towards him. But as far as Russell goes, there you go. Another person that's they see something in. And, you know, they've got a lot of great minds back there and a lot of good eyes that can spot these sort of things. And I don't doubt that you will flourish in the system. And I like the fact that the WWE does help them get through their college and university athletic careers as well as waiting for them to train at the Performance Center and get ready to hopefully debut on the main roster at some point. But, I like the fact that they're looking outside the box and getting personalities and special athletes.
Yeah, Emily. And Jimmy, we've seen it also flow into the production aspect of it, where we're getting a lot more MMA, ESPN-style shots. We're getting totally different look and feel. So it's taken a more sports aesthetic and route on the production side as well. And I think it just adds to, again, what Triple H said is, like, they're just looking for talent, whether you're a track star or CrossFit or, you know, we've seen the journey of, like, Bianca Belair and that mm-hmm. journey. And so it's a formula that works if you nurture it correctly and you do it in the right way. And you find that little spark that, you know, it's hard to build that. It's you kind of have to see it and then you kind of let it grow and foster it in the right way. So I think Jacob Henry is going to be really amazing once that all happens. So I'm excited.
He's got a great motivator.
Yeah, seriously. World's strongest man. I mean,
no.
when Mark Henry sets his mind to something, I'm sure he's going to instill that same value to his son. You know, Emily, you mentioned sports feel is our last news story, then we'll jump into Raw here. This is something that WWE's been doing. It's a very sports feel. Triple H has announced they have their WWE Speed series. They do. This is where a match airs on Twitter, on X, 3-minute time of the match, I believe. We've seen the men's for a while. Ricochet was champion there for a bit. And now Triple H has announced that they are going to have the WWE Speed Women's Championship Tournament, which will premiere on September 4th at noon. What do you make of this? This is a different kind of take, because you're putting a time limit on a match. This is not a 60-minute Ironman match. It's a 3-minute kind of quick fast food kind of. What do you make of this? Do you like this?
I think it's hard to tell a story in 3 minutes. I don't know if Jimmy agrees. Jimmy, you've reffed all types of matches, but 3 minutes is a short time. So you have to be very succinct. I think it's exciting. They're adding a women's title. I think when it first was announced, I was like, oh, that's not, I hope it grows from there. You know, you always want more. So I think it's good. It's obviously been a successful metrics from the back end. But I think it's going to be tough to figure out exactly what they're trying to say in 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But they can highlight people that aren't necessarily on television too. So that's going to be great.
Well, and that's the part I like, Emily, right there. But, and I guess Jimmy, Emily makes a great statement of like, how much of a story can you tell in 3 minutes? Does that just become the constant story of who has the offense or the elusiveness, if you're the champion, I suppose, to just survive a 3-minute shootout? Was that what it is, basically?
I think that's pretty much what it's supposed to be. It's guns a blazing, especially in a time now where people's attention spans aren't what they used to be. You know, I'm an old school guy. I could sit there through The Godfather 5 times in a week if I have to, because it's probably my favorite movie. So, but like you said, Emily, you can't really, really tell an elaborate story in 3 minutes. That's for sure. So this is something to get eyes on talent that otherwise wouldn't get to be on television, like you said. And also, satisfy a part of the audience that kind of likes that Fast and Furious kind of wrestling match, you know. But, you know, Andrade is the Speed champ right now, and he appears on television as well. So, but he appears without the title.
That was the same with Ricochet. It's like the Speed thing lives in like a separate,
universe. It's a different universe.
But I do like the idea that it's kind of you kind of like cut the fat a little bit, right? You just get down to business. You're like, you're gonna do the match and that's it. Like, there's no, I mean, it could go either way, that there's no fluff, right? You're just like watching those snippets and that's it. Little breadcrumbs to lead to the bigger product.
Yeah, and that's I guess that's my worry, is that, well, I don't have worry, but I almost think it's like, if you're lining up guys and girls that you think, okay, you're perfect for Speed, it almost to me like lends, it's like, you know, you got a few one hit wonders. Let's just let you go ahead and roll that out, because we don't think we can, we don't want you out there for much longer than 3. Like, that's what it feels like. If I was in the locker room and saying, you're going to be the Speed champion, I'm going to be like, all right, well, am I getting paid the same, I guess?
I guess they figure those are the guys that you put out there on television, and after about 3 minutes, it's the Oscars get off the stage music starts playing, and here we go.
You get the red light. You got to leave the stage. Yep.
Exactly.
Jack Lanza flying down the aisle waving a tie.
Right. Orchestra's playing you off. All right.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
All right, so that's some news headlines. Many more headlines on Wrestling Inc. 24/7. You can always check out on there. So Wrestling Inc., free to check out at all times and get your latest news in the pro wrestling world. All right, let's jump into Monday Night Raw. This was a jam-packed Raw. Lots of story to talk about. Let's start our Raw recap with how Raw actually started with Rhea Ripley. And she tells Dom that he stabbed her in the back, but he didn't stab deep enough. She tells Liv she can't run forever. Then Dom and Liv appear in the crowd. Dom says now he has somebody to call him daddy. Liv says she's took everything from Rhea. Then Damian Priest appears behind them, just like that Undertaker meme behind AJ Styles. He just appears and starts to beat the hell out of Dom. All hell breaks loose of a brawl. This then leads to Priest versus Carlito in a match. Priest, of course, gets the win. Judgment Day comes out, tries to use the numbers, but Rhea chases them off. Rhea almost gets Dom in her finish, but Liv snatches him away. They would announce later, Bash of Berlin, we're going to have the mixed tag match of Liv and Dom versus Rhea and Damian Priest. Jimmy, I thought the dialogue was fantastic. The crowd hang on every word, on everybody. I was so happy that they did not let Liv actually hit her finish on Dom. That is chef's kiss for a bigger stage.
You're reading my mind, my friend. You're reading my mind. As they were doing the dialogue back and forth, I was waiting for something to happen, and they had me guessing. They had me wondering, okay, where are they going from here? Because they're way up in the crowd. Dom, of course, nuclear heat, as he always gets. Can't even open his mouth without
it. Rhea tried to quiet him down.
Yeah, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't even listen to her. So, but then when Damian showed up from behind, like you said, Undertaker-esque, I said, oh, this is wonderful. And the other thing, too, when they got into it and they finally worked their way down to the ring and Damian and Rhea were hugging, you know, congratulating each other on a job well done. Here comes Dom off the top. And while they're in embrace, Damian reaches up and grabs him in that choke slam. That was perfect. Everything worked out so well and furthered that story along and made you want to see, I guess, down the road, we're going to get a mixed tag match of some sort.
Yeah, it's announced. Bash of Berlin, we're going to have that mixed tag match.
I missed the announcement.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, there's so much drama.
There's so much drama. I mean, I was there at SummerSlam when, you know, Dom turned on Rhea Ripley. And I have to tell you, it made Dom a bigger heel. You just hate him so much. And you could hear the crowd booing him tonight. And you could see, like, everyone tried to, like, get back in the moment, because trying to do those, you know, create those segments while you have that big of a fan reaction you can kind of get distracted a little bit, but I think they all handled it so well. I love the chemistry between Liv and Dom. And then I did love that moment with Priest in the background where, like, they didn't quite know he was there yet, but the crowd knew. And it's building that, the momentum for the mixed tag match at Bash in Berlin. It's building to these, you know, Judgment Day versus what are they now? The Terror Twins?
They kind of unofficially called them the Terror Twins.
Unofficially the Terror Twins. Yeah. And I'm interested to see what Priest and Rhea do with this relationship and how that grows. Because we saw that embrace in the middle of the ring tonight, and it had a little bit of chemistry. And I wonder what's going on there. And I think Bash in Berlin is going to be really exciting. And Rhea didn't hit her Riptide. And I think we're going to have a few false finishes to get to that big moment, because you have to leave it for that big premium live event moment.
And let me hang on. You said it right there. You perfect segue. You're it's like you've been doing this with us for 10 years. later we would get a backstage boldly produced promo of the new Judgment Day. So Finn, Dom, Liv, JD, and Carlito, and they referred to them as the Terror Twins because that's what Pat McAfee's been calling them. They showed some footage from earlier in the night. At one point, Dom or Liv, one of them says like something. I'm paraphrasing. Basically, they're saying Dom and Liv are saying we're the most powerful couple. They use the word couple, but they were and couple. They were doing it juxtaposed to Rhea and Priest, and they're showing Rhea and Priest embracing. And so I kind of want to, you kind of starting to touch on that. Like, obviously Rhea was in this relationship on screen where everybody loved Rhea, everybody hated Dom. Now everybody loves Rhea. Priest is on an all-time high with the audience. Mm-hmm. Like, would you be okay if they lean into like they're more than just trusted pal? Like do you want romance, or is it just a hey, we're just two really good pals who like to kick ass? Like what do you want in this thing here?
So I don't know. Like I saw kind of the behind the scenes of Damian Priest's documentary in Cleveland, and mm-hmm. Rhea was on the stage with him, and they do have amazing kind of banter back and forth, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily think it's romantic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would work. I feel like we're seeing so much of it on Liv and Dom. I don't know if it would necessarily work with Damian and Rhea. I think they're going to be a powerhouse like couple in the sense of like, they're going to like duo, duo.
Blood brothers and sister.
Blood brother and sister. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Like okay. that's, I think their most powerful dynamic because we're getting a lot of the romance on the Judgment Day side. Mm-hmm. I don't need more of that. Right. It's a lot.
Yeah. It was interesting the way that promo presented. And then when you said the word relationship, I was like, yeah, I wonder what are we trying to do here? We're not like Priest is not all of a sudden going to start having like Google eyes for Rhea.
Nah.
So, all right. Yeah. So the match is official. Mixed tag, yes. Bash of Berlin. That's the first of several matches that we will get announced either for Raw or for Bash of Berlin that will roll through. Let's keep it moving here. Let's go to Randy Orton. Randy Orton comes out. He notes that it was 20 years ago that he won his first world title, his first of 14. And he touts that he's on his way to 15 when he's going to beat Gunther. He touts all he's done personally and professionally. He notes mistakes he's made. Gunther's out there, and he notes how Randy's a screw-up. Randy's a screw-up, just like his dad's a screw-up, just like his grandfather's a screw-up. Wow. And I watch the sections of fans start to stand up when Gunther's trash-talking the family because everybody knew something's getting ready to happen here. Then Drew McIntyre's music hits. Drew appears at ringside. That's enough distraction for Gunther where Randy hits the RKO. More to come, but let's pause it there. Jimmy, this is our build to our WWE World Heavyweight title match between Orton and Gunther. This match happening in storyline because they're saying that Randy got screwed by the referee of not a proper pinfall.
Right.
I've seen some online discourse of this shouldn't be this match. Randy's on SmackDown. There should be whatever the fault may be. What say you on this match?
No, I don't mind the match happening because there is a story to it. There is a reason why it's happening because of what happened at King of the Ring. So for me, regardless of what brand Randy is on, it makes sense because Hunter said afterwards that Randy will get his opportunity down the line at a rematch with Gunther. So why not take this opportunity while he's World Heavyweight Champion? But as far as the banter back and forth, I thought they were both great on the mic. Randy's just a natural. He's just being Randy. And no one else. And then when Gunther hit those lines about his grandfather being a screw up and his father being a screw up, you saw the venom. You saw the venom in his eyes. It was very, for me, very Jake the Snake Roberts-esque. Having that, oh my goodness, was that loud? My goodness. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's Randy contacting you, saying he wants you to ref his match in Berlin.
Yeah, Randy's contacting you.
Get the count right this time, somebody.
Yeah, somebody count right, please. It's three, but you don't have to always count three. But anyway, I loved it. And the Drew coming out for the distraction, getting the RKO in, shows that he could still hit it out of nowhere, and the Viper is still the legend killer. And Gunther hasn't become a legend yet. He's on his way there, I think, but Randy's showing that he's still the Viper.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a lesson there where you shouldn't turn your back, right? You never turn your back. And I think Gunther learned that tonight. But I think this will be a really fun match in Berlin. And I, Jimmy, I know you mentioned the what Gunther was saying, and there was a build to it, and he kind of had like a sadistic smile a little bit, like a little smirk when he said each word, and there was a crescendo, and I did notice like the fans and the crowds getting more into it, because that's personal. That's some personal stuff when you bring your history and your family into it. And, but that's what makes it good when you're in the ring. You know, you bring all that, and yeah, I mean, Orton might take, I don't know what our predictions are, but I think this is gonna be a test for Gunther for sure.
Well, I mean, I think the match, just like their last one, is gonna be great. I have a hard time seeing Gunther lose his first title defense, especially, you know, in Germany. But again, the match is gonna be tremendous. I still think Randy served best as a heel. I still think that him as a heel opponent to Cody Rhodes is really there. That's where there's so much rich history. So, you know, maybe he loses out to Gunther and something in his, as he says tonight, he called himself, he's the most unpredictable, violent, sadistic. So maybe something, switch flicks and, we can see him getting, you know, doesn't get that world title with Gunther, but goes after Cody Rhodes. That would be my personal
planting those
preference.
Seeds.
I would like to see those seeds. Yeah, we'll see. All right. So as we mentioned, Gunther gets RKO'd because there's a distraction of Drew appearance. Drew, of course, talked to Adam Pearce earlier in the night and doesn't like the fact that Orton all of a sudden gets this title shot. So just as Drew is ringside, all of a sudden CM Punk, who we were told had travel issues and wasn't gonna be there tonight, Punk surfaces out of the crowd, starts whooping Drew like Drew just missed curfew. And just whipping with the pant belt. Drew runs off. We later catch up with Punk backstage. He said he had to tell a little white lie because he knew that if Drew knew, he says he knows that if Drew knew that he was coming, Drew wouldn't show up. So it was his way to bait Drew in. But then just as he's wrapping up, he's looking at that leather belt that he just got done whipping Drew with. And he says he thinks he might have an idea that will make everybody happy. Emily, I love me some strap matches, and I feel like we're heading towards a strap match.
Yes, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that. I was like, we need a strap match.
Yeah, buddy.
We need it. I feel like, I mean, Texas, we had a lot of the, you know, the Texas Tornado match. But
Texas Bull Rope match, Thunder Rosa. Shout out to Thunder Rosa.
Yes. Incredible match this past
should have been match of the week on Busted Open, but Susumu sucks as a judge this week. I don't know what he's thinking.
Well, sorry. We got to fix this. Justin, yeah, fix it. I know.
Who do you ever beat?
Right. Yeah. I told him, I said, you know Thunder's listening. And then she was. And then he got all, you know, Thunder's mad. I said, yeah, you didn't pick her match. It should have been match of the week. Sorry, sidebar. Sorry.
No, that's fine. No, it's a LaBar. Get it?
Oh, you can stay. You can stay.
That's it.
You can stay.
The side LaBar. I love it.
It's a side LaBar.
Go ahead.
Anywho, I lost my train of thought. All I was going to say is we need a strap match. That's it. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
That's it. Jimmy, yeah, a strap match. I love the... You all right, Em? That T's supposed to go in, not out.
All right. I know. All right. We're good. I won't do a spit take here.
Take five. Jimmy, I love the psychology of a strap match. I also like, too, that, like, all right, so we saw the Drew versus Punk match, and that had the psychology factor of Seth as the ref. Mm-hmm. Now Seth legit is, you know, sidelined again. We'll get back to that in a minute. So it's like, all right, how are we going to do more matches here, more gimmick matches, but without actually having to kill these two physically, especially Punk? Mm-hmm. And the strap match is a way, like, you keep them contained to each other. There's a lot of psychology. There's no faking the sound of that leather hitting skin. Yeah. That's brutal. All the while, you're not asking them, not yet at least, to step into a Hell in a Cell or step into something more brutal. So I'm intrigued by where this is going. I think you are too, but my real question to you is this just the first of several hardcore gimmick matches coming for these two now that Seth seems to be legitimately out of the picture and you can't cash in on Seth versus Punk right now?
I think it is the natural progression because we've waited so long for them to finally get into the ring against one another in an actual match because of Punk's injury. It took so long for them to actually get them together. So we had the match. There was a gimmick involved with Seth as a special guest referee. And then, you know, then if they do this, which it looks like it's going to be a strap match. Booking it right now. It's a strap match. That's all. I got my pencil right here. So they have a strap match now. And like you said, it escalates the violence level with every match. And then when Seth is ready to return, maybe he's the pivoting factor in the outcome of whatever that blow-off match is going to be. And then you can branch off from there, whether it's going to be Seth and Drew or maybe even Seth and Punk. Either way, you've got money. Money feud. Sorry.
So you're right. You have money feuds. It's so wild because we look at the calendar on WWE's PLEs. So we have Bash at Berlin, and then they come back to the States in Atlanta for the resurgence of Bad Blood. And it's like again, great problem to have. I look up and down here as we're just on Raw. We're not even talking about SmackDown tonight. Just on Raw, and it's like, well, what do you want to headline Bad Blood? Well, there's some bad blood amongst the Judgment Day situation. There's a lot of bad blood amongst Punk and Drew. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Randy and Gunther's getting personal. Like, it's and then never mind the real heartstrings of when we get to the Wyatts here in a moment. Like, and I haven't even got to the Bloodline on Fridays. Like, they're giving us bad blood as the gimmick. And it's like, man, what's going to take the cake to headline the bad blood gimmick? You know, what's going to get so personal that it's going to be the one that finishes off? And that's, again, tremendous problem to have, tremendous situation as a fan to be guessing. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. They have these continuous Cody Rhodes like vignettes to promote the Bad Blood show. And did I see correctly tonight? They said Bad Blood, which is on October 5th. I could have swore it said a 5:30 start time. Did I see that correctly? For the PL, I thought it said Bad Blood October 5th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I was like,
unless that's the pre-show starting at 5, I don't know if the pay-per-view or PLE proper will start at 5, but at 5:30, if that's the case, I'm all on board for that.
Chat, please jump in. I'm looking at a lot of screens.
It says it is 5:30.
Does it? Okay. Chat, jump in. I'm looking at a lot of screens. You have no, I look like CNN's War Zone Command Center. how the setup is here. So maybe
probably like pre-show matches and kickoff and all that.
That's different. They don't normally advertise that time. So I just caught my attention. I thought 5:30. Anyways, Bad Blood. There's going to be blood and it's going to be bad. All right. So Punk versus Drew, we think we know where we're going there. That's exciting. All right, let's go to our, ended up being the main event match. IC title match. Braun Breaker, your defending Intercontinental Champion, up against Sami Zayn in a 2 out of 3 falls match. I'm not always the biggest fan of 2 out of 3 falls matches, but I'll accept this one.
With enthusiasm.
Well, I just, when I see 2 out of 3 falls matches, especially when you have somebody like a Braun Breaker who's been booked the way he is, my booker mind goes to, okay, make an impact, have him win the first two falls. Yeah. You're not going to hurt Sami Zayn. No, nobody's going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, oh, that Sami Zayn guy sucks. Cut him. Yeah, it's not going to happen. But they didn't do that. But it was still very entertaining. Sami wins the first fall via the Huluva kick. Braun wins the second fall with a spear. Mm-hmm. And then he wins the winning third fall with a midair spear, which looked brutal as all hell, to retain his IC title. Not much more than the play-by-play here, but Emily, Braun Breaker still IC champion. I got to think this is probably the end of Sami Zayn. We've had Braun and Sami now 3 different times, 2 PLEs and now a Raw. I think Braun Breaker has proven that he has surpassed Sami Zayn. Thoughts on the match, thoughts on Braun Breaker, thoughts on where Sami Zayn goes from here.
Yeah. I mean, Braun Breaker's proven, obviously this was a match he had to prove, like, you know, why he is, you know, the Intercontinental Champion, why he has to set the tone for his championship. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't had it very long. So the fact that he was, going against Sami Zayn, who's proven himself time and time over and over again. This is important. This was important for Braun. But I, I feel like Sammy is going to have to, again, like, resituate himself and figure out what is next for him. Like, does he want to go after a different championship? Does he need to figure out maybe he needs to align with someone a little bit stronger or a little bit different and think about what he wants to do?
Does Sammy maybe find himself, since Jey Uso and him still have a brotherhood, are we kind of just tabling them to jump into the bloodline situation?
What
else is Sammy going to do in Raw? He's lost his IC title. He's lost his rematches.
I know, he's lost everything. So, like, that's a lot.
He has no claim to the world title on Monday. So if the bloodline thing starts cooking, and again, we're heading towards bad blood. We're heading towards Survivor Series War Games. If Roman needs some allies, could Jay and Sammy be in that?
I can see that. I could definitely see that.
I could definitely see that.
Because of the history, the seeing Sammy and Jey Uso together, especially in those backstage pep talks before the match, it's not by accident. Like you say all the time, Justin, they don't do anything by accident. There's a reason for everything. No. That's another seed being planted for down the road. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. It may not be next month. But like you said, bad blood is coming up after Bash in Berlin. And then you've got Survivor Series you got to set the table for that somehow. And I could see him in that role. I could see him very well in that role.
But I've also noticed that this episode of Raw pretty much had a lot of people taking past history, taking the bad blood. Like, we're going towards that October premium live event. There's a lot of, like, backstabbing and a lot of frustrations. People aren't aligned with their original friends. They're not friends anymore. They're not lovers anymore. Like, there's so much that and I feel like this was jam-packed with that. And again, like Jimmy said, it's all leading to these other, you know, you just leave those little hints, and then it is a big pop later.
Absolutely.
I do have a question for both of you, though, because I did enjoy the match very much, and like you, Justin, I was almost half expecting it to be two straight falls for Bron Breakker to make him look like that beast that he, but I love the fact that he's able to sell for a big man the way he does. And of course, Sammy's as the guy fighting from underneath, he's just a master at it. But from a logic standpoint, they keep emphasizing the fact that this is my question, finally getting to it. They keep emphasizing the fact that Bron Breakker runs the ropes at 23 miles per hour. So why in God's name would anybody shoot him into the ropes intentionally? When he locks up, why would you shoot him off in the ropes? I would say, nope.
That's a very fair point. I don't know, Jimmy, I don't know if you have more reps than any of us. You know, I have my reps in the ring that I've had, but again, I say all that to say I came across a few legendary wrestlers once upon a time who, and even me as the bad guy manager, so I'm not having to take, you know, any match I ever worked was very gimmicked, but they always said, and I always listened to them, because I always wanted to hear just their training to normal active wrestlers. Figure out how to work a match where you don't hit the ropes once. And if you can work without hitting the ropes once, you're going to set yourself up for success. And so I say that in your response of, you're exactly right. I am surprised that no Sammy, who's a veteran, and they have a lot of these great vets that are backstage that are producers, agents, whatever the official title is these days. I am surprised. That's a quality control thing that I get on AEW about sometimes. That I would expect better from WWE on, because I agree. You're right. If that's a gimmick that is so shouted from the rooftop by the commentary team, and if it's shouted by the rooftop, it's not an accident. You're right. Like, why would you even set him up into that situation? So that's a great point by you. That's an absolutely great point. Why would you, you know?
It just popped in my head while I was watching. It's, you know what I mean?
It's a great, and by the way, when I was first bestowed upon that challenge of try to put a match together without hitting the ropes, I realized how freaking dumb I think I am. I was like, man,
this is hard.
Can't do a match without hitting the ropes.
Exactly.
So if you thought I was putting myself over everybody, no, I was, that was a moment of when I had a humbling moment of, man, I ain't as smart as I thought I was.
The first, I've heard that as well, Justin. I've heard that as well. And the first time I said to myself, you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't know how they would be able to do it, which shows I don't know Jack squat.
It shows that the guys and girls that do it at top level are of elite in their art form with how they do it. All right. So Bron Breakker, still our IC champion. Last thing, Emma, I'll ask you this last thing on Bron Breakker. You know, he does his walk to the ring. He even does that little promo where he doesn't want to do the traditional promo, and he calls out Pat McAfee. Would we have any dogs in the house? The entire arena is barking.
So good.
What is Bron Breakker? I hate the term tweener. I despise the term tweener.
What do you mean by that?
I know, because look, here it is. Look, the locker room is like a yard. You're either on the heel side of the yard or you're on the face side of the yard. There is no straddling the fence. You're one or the other. But is Bron Breakker defining
in the middle?
Yeah, is he defying my tweener disdain? Is he like what Goldberg was in 97 or 98, where it's like he doesn't talk down to the audience, but he's not going to be kissing babies?
No, I think this match tonight proved he's a heel. He's more on the heel side.
You think so? All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Sami Zayn's like such a beloved favorite. And I feel like, I think he's more on the heel side, or they're building him up to that look. But he's also but he does things like that where it's kind of like he's charming. He's like a charming heel.
Well, and he does that. He does what Pat McAfee's coined as the breaking center. You know, when you do high moves like that, that's usually reserved for the face. You don't normally let a heel do that. So that's where I'm like, oh, well, I'm confused. What's the idea here?
I think everything's breaking. Like everything, the norm that we're used to in wrestling is continuing to evolve and change and break. Yeah. So I don't think there's any set definition anymore.
He's the most bold shade of gray right now, I guess. That's what we'll call that. All right. Moving on. We got some raw physics. We're talking small elephants.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking 10 wild boars. We're talking 50 kangaroos.
500 kangaroos? How many?
50 kangaroos.
Is this anything like Steiner math?
Yeah, this is Steiner
math. It might be, yeah.
Yeah. We got some raw physics, which I joke on it, but I did kind of enjoy because they're mm-hmm. trying to they're giving me, they pulled out their protractors. They're giving me 45 degree angles and stuff, all emphasizing Bronson Reed's, I think, 6 tsunamis that he gave to Seth Rollins, selling that Seth Rollins is on the shelf for a while. So Seth Rollins is not going to be seen for a while. So we give that. Bronson Reed tells Adam Pearce, you either give me an opponent tonight or I'll find a victim. R-Truth thought he was giving Miz a match against Braun.
He's a good helper.
Thought it was against Bron Breakker. It's actually against Bronson Reed. So R-Truth has this match, Miz has this match against Bronson Reed. Bronson wins it with a tsunami on a Miz. After that tsunami, he then delivers 6 more tsunamis from 2 different corners on R-Truth. So now I think R-Truth got a vacation booked. If there's anybody else that needs a vacation to WWE, we're going to see him in the ring with Bronson Reed soon. Jimmy, you've been doing this podcast with me for many years. I'm a big Bronson Reed fan. I've noted for a while. He got brought back from the company after he was released under the Vince regime, that when he would step up to the top room and do that tsunami, mm-hmm. the crowds didn't lie. They, even if they weren't into the match leading up to it, they reacted to that. Now they're leaning into this. They're leaning into one more time. And oh my God, is he going to do it again? And this 350 pound SOB is getting up there and falling on these guys that he outweighs 100 pounds. I think they have made Bronson Reed. I think right now, and that's kind of why I asked earlier the Bron Breakker tweener question. If Bronson Reed showed up backstage and got in Bron Breakker's face,
devastation.
Yes.
Devastation.
Yeah. I'm coming back to you in a second. Jimmy, Bronson Reed. First off, anybody else for vacation? Need some time off? Put yourself in the landing zone.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed is here to stay.
Yeah, finally, Bronson Reed is here to stay. In 2 weeks, they have created a massive monster and hugely the crowd is just incredibly invested in this guy. The tsunamis that he's doing off the top, the six to Seth Rollins, and then defeating, you know what I would have liked? Only one little thing. You know, I'm a nitpicker. I'm going to nitpick about one thing. When he hit Miz with that tsunami as he pinned him, I would have loved for him, the referee, to count one, two, and him lift him up off the shoulder, off the canvas. Yeah. You know, like the old school heels used to do back in the day. No, I'm going to give him one more, and then I'm going to pin him and do that. I think that would have got him a little more heat, and then go up for that third one.
You're right, because that's within the rules, so there's no need to have the extra refs or officials to come out and stop it. He's just, yeah, you're right. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Just do it. He doesn't even have to do it several times. Just do it once.
Yeah.
Get that heat, get his win, and then go back up and start dropping tsunamis again. And I love the fact that everybody tries to get in the way and they scatter. And this week they pulled R-Truth, saved his partner, which was a nice little move, but he ate one for the team. And then they pulled him to the other corner, and he walked to the other
corner.
Perfect. I loved every minute of this. This was fantastic. And Bronson Reed, finally they're getting it right with him.
Yeah,
totally. I agree. No, this was such an entertaining moment. Bronson Reed again, like is finally getting his big moment. And poor R-Truth, I think he is going on vacation. We should find out where he's going. Let's do some research. Send him a care basket.
you know what's interesting is let's take a look real quick here. We look at the Raw roster of who we talked about tonight. Bronson Reed, whose stock is rising quickly as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Bron Breakker, again, verdict out, kind of seems more like a heel. Certainly, he has our attention. As I scroll through here, we have Drew McIntyre, obviously Drew. We have all of the Judgment Day. You know, even though some of them are goofballs, but they are still unified. Mm-hmm. You look at how deep that heel side of the locker room is for Monday. But then we jump over to Friday, and we won't go off on a tangent because it's not a SmackDown show, but Cody is offering up a title match to other babyface friend Kevin Owens, who doesn't want to take it, but then he does take it because he doesn't want Roman to have it. And I said this on Busted Open, abbreviated at least this past Sunday, and I said, this kind of speaks to the lack of heel depth we have on Fridays.
Right.
And so I say all this to wonder, like, should Bronson Reed be moved over to, like, should Adam Pearce say, I can't control this madman, Nick Aldis, he's your problem, just to give a heel for Cody to have for a PLE? Or like, I really, you look at Friday's show, and obviously Friday, you don't need as many people because it's a 2-hour show versus three on Monday, but Emily, I don't know if you agree if you thought about this, but Friday is really lacking credible heels.
Yeah, I mean that would be a really powerful move because we know Adam Pearce and Nick, they have this, they have a history, they're always kind of. I like how you go kind of to the side, Justin. it would be interesting to kind of do end of summer swap and just say, hey, because we saw Adam Pearce couldn't get Reed under control. We saw he had no power. He had no power whatsoever. Even the referees were like, we're staying out of this. Like so I think it would be interesting. I think you're onto something, Justin.
Well, if Cody's not going to go through a gauntlet of the bloodline right now, if that's not what fits,
gotta find other people. Yeah.
Because Roman's going to deal with the bloodline. Who the hell else on SmackDown are you going to sell a PLE with for Cody?
Right. You just set a light bulb off of my head. You do that all the time, Justin, because you said something there where since Randy has come over to Raw from SmackDown, Nick Aldis calls Adam Pearce and says, since you've got one of my guys, Randy Orton, you send me one of your guys. I don't care who it is. You got to make up for Randy Orton coming over to Raw. And that's when Adam Pearce goes, this guy's a big problem. I can't handle him. It's your problem now. Send Bronson Reed over and have him take out Cody.
And I think that would be perfect to go right into Bash in Berlin. But they've already given us they've already announced that Kevin Owens is going to be the match, which it's just going to be weird because unless KO is going to in the next 2 weeks revert back to his old KO style, his heel style. Like, it's just, if he's just the reluctant all shucks babyface who's going to fight Cody, I'm sorry. That's not, I'm not excited for that. I don't know.
Respectful handshake at the end.
Yeah. Right, right. All right, so Bronson Reed, buy some stock on him if you haven't already. All right, let's go to the Wyatt Six here. We get Bo Dallas on the classic VHS tape saying things are coming for full circle. As I noted last week, you know, they were in Baltimore, which is where the original debut of the Wyatt family happened. Mm-hmm. So I always love when those pieces of history are acknowledged. Things are coming full circle. He says something big is happening, but more work is to be done. He did acknowledge that his late brother, Bray Wyatt, was there in spirit last week. That was a very cool, touching moment. Mm-hmm. So we get this Bo Dallas. So basically him saying, like, there's more to come, right? Then we get Chad Gable, who's in Paris for the Olympics. He's saying that he's not done with the Wyatt Six. He's saying we got more to go here. The story's not done. I thought it would have been done after last week, but apparently not. So keep all that there. Then we go to the American-made Creed Brothers. They're up against Otis and Tozawa in a Texas Tornado match. Got the people on their feet. This was just the ref's discretion all around. Well, it's not ref's discretion. It's a Texas Tornado, I guess. So just chaos all around.
Just chaos all around.
And then Emily, Ivy Nile comes out, attacks Maxine, puts on a vicious dragon sleeper.
Mm-hmm.
That distracts Otis and Tozawa. That lets the Creeds get their win. Ivy Nile mattered more than she ever has. Good win for the Creeds. They're now, again, labeled as American made when they with Chad Gable. You have a female here, so now I'm like, all right, you have Chad, two Creeds, and a female in Ivy. Mm-hmm. So now that can then counteract potentially the Wyatts, who of course have the Abby the Witch character. So this is starting to set up as something really fun here. I am surprised that Chad Gable is going to continue with the Wyatt Six, but you know, here we are. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think this needed to happen in the sense of like Maxine and Ivy definitely saying which side they're going to, you know, which teams and or factions they're on, right? They, you know, and I feel like we got that solidification tonight. And I am really surprised that Chad Gable was like, yeah, I'm going to still be involved, because he's terrified of the Wyatt Six. So, questionable choice on his part. So I'm wondering if he's gonna have something up his sleeve where I'd be concerned. We've seen what they've done. So
yeah.
Well, it's easy to talk a big game from another continent.
Exactly. He's like, well, I'm hanging out with my Olympian friends, you know. So he's talking a big game, but I think it's gonna be different once he's back in the arena.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, we don't have Jack here. Jack's like the head of the Tozawa fan club, but Tozawa and Otis, ironically, on a night where Chad Gable, I don't know if he legit still is out of the country, I don't know if he, you know, whatever, but at least for on camera purposes, on a night where Chad Gable's not present, that was the biggest pop that Otis and Tozawa got, because previously all their pops always came in, you know, reply to Chad Gable. Chad Gable's you know, wagging his finger and brow beating them. That would always be when the, but tonight it was, they stood on their own, them and Maxine, and they had the crowd up chanting. Mm-hmm. I can't say it on Wrestling Inc., but they had the chant, the holy crap chant, and I had the people on their feet. So this was a really, I thought, proud of me.
No, it was a lot of fun. This was a fun match, and it proved one thing. Like you said, Justin, Otis is over. The crowd loves it. He's just that big, lovable teddy bear that could beat your butt. You know what I mean? And Tozawa is that fun guy. Who would I compare him to from a comedy team? You know what I mean? You got the big fun loving guy and it's kind of like
Chris Farley, David Spade. You have the big fat guy who plays the big fat guy who's funny, and then you have the straight guy in Tozawa.
But I think maybe this proves that maybe it wasn't Chad Gable who was getting them over. It was them all along. Chad Gable was just facilitating it a little bit and kind of guiding it, but it was always there, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah.
No, it does.
Did you notice there was two moments of like of blood injuries in this match? Did you notice? It was Otis's ear. And, and
Creed's hand.
Creed's hand. Yeah. So I was a little worried for Maxine going through the commentary table as well. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of that tonight too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, big stuff here. So obviously the Wyatts, that's where we know that things are continuing here. We have the American Made officially dubbed group. So we'll watch here. All right, moving to another group that's been around for an eternity. They've been around for 10 years, which is an eternity by today's standards when WWE has, you know, what, including NXT, 7 hours of TV a week. So we have Odyssey Jones. He's kind of like the surrogate new third member of the New Day for the moment. Kofi Kingston is loving to have Odyssey Jones back, return the favor. Xavier's putting on the big fake smile and face of, okay, sure. Odyssey Jones against Vincent Winey. Now, this is a PC talent, they tell us. Vincent Winey can't spell Winey without win, according to Pat McAfee. Great the venture there. Real quick. So, Jimmy, I want to go to you in this because you obviously reffed a lot of matches where there's the talent that we're getting over, and then there's the I don't like the term jobber. It's disrespectful. Enhancement matches the proper term.
Yes.
Traditionally, you would pick somebody who is, you know, gonna get blown away by the gust of wind. This Vincent Winey guy, which by the way, that's his real name. I looked him up. He's a true, actually, collegiate star. That's his name. This guy's like 6'3", pretty thick, at least 230. I mean, he ain't a small man. And so as I watch the visual of Odyssey Jones, who's, you know, big, and Vincent Winey, I'm like, normally you would just put somebody that he could just tower over. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, though, is that the philosophy if Odyssey Jones is the heel? But because he's a face, does it add more credibility that he's tossing around this guy who is a pretty good stature, even though we don't know anything about him? I wanted to ask you that specifically because that caught me off guard. Enhancement match, but the enhancement talent is 6'3", 230 pounds at least.
Ding, ding, ding. Circle gets a square. Tell him what he's won, Johnny. That's exactly why did it. Yeah.
I thought you were going to add more to that. Okay.
No. I mean, like, that's exactly why it is. Because if it was a heel, if Odyssey Jones was a heel, how much more heat do you get beating up a guy half your size and just manhandling him? He was manhandling a guy, like you said, 6'3" and whatever he was. And there was that one Beal he did where I know how it works, but at the same time, it made everybody go, oh, holy crap.
Yeah.
This guy's got it, you know, and that's the exact reason why they had him in there with Vincent Winey. And I guess that's the pronouncing, not Winey.
Yeah, you can't spell win without Winey. All right, so after that, we get the final testament. They come out. Karrion Kross says, Kofi's just using to replace Big E. And we see Xavier wants a tag match. But Kofi's like, no, we got three of us here. Let's do 3-on-3. Let them have an extra man. So we have a 3-on-3 match now that's made for next week of Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Odyssey Jones versus Kross and the Authors of Pain. Final Testament has been treading water at best. Is this going to help them? Is this subtle teasing of the New Day actually breaking up, of maybe Woods actually breaking up? Is this going to do it for you?
I mean, we saw kind of Xavier Woods' face tonight in multiple segments that if you look deep into his soul, he doesn't like why, like he's navigating this group of like, let's make it a three-way. Like all, I don't know. I think this might be not necessarily the end, but a redo, changing it up a bit.
All right. Well, let's answer Dylan's super chat. Dylan asking the percentage of Woods jumping off the apron and walking to the back. So just leaving them to a 3-on-2 disadvantage.
That's one way to do it, I guess, if he's going to turn on his New Day members.
That seems quick.
Yeah.
But would he turn that fast or is he taking Odyssey with him? Like, is he like, I'm taking him with me. He's coming with me.
Yeah, I think you're right, Joe. I think it's too quick. I would rather see it somewhere where there's kind of a misdirection. He gets maybe knocked off the apron and sits there boo-boo-faced and doesn't bother to get back on the apron, as opposed to, you know, blatantly jumping down where everybody sees him doing it, and or something along those lines, where at least he has an out for not turning just yet. Save it.
Yeah. So Jimmy, let me ask you, this was, you know, we've seen Big E, who obviously is a third New Day member, the original third New Day member. We've seen him on the pre-show panels. He's been out, I don't even know how many years it's been now, at least two. Emily, maybe you can correct, maybe three. He's been out dealing with his neck injury. There's a lot of speculation of, is he ever going to wrestle again? We've, of course, seen wonderful stories of Brian Danielson, Adam Copeland, Paige, slash Soraya. We've seen neck injuries come back, you know, awesome. So there's, I feel like there's always this little hope of, for Big E, but we don't know. The last word that Big E gave, he didn't give any actually real information in the latest interview. He just kind of kept hope alive of like, maybe not, but I'm not going to be sad in life. So, Jimmy, I guess my question to you is, does this booking move by Triple H and Creative, who seems to like have a lot of their ducks in a row and seems to be looking ahead long term with things, do you take this as them probably acknowledging Big E's never going to lace up a pair of boots again?
That was what I was thinking. I honestly was, because that interview with Big E, he seems to be at peace with himself if he's never going to be able to step into a ring again. And if that's the case, then I think he's perfectly fine sitting behind the mic during the pre-shows and the post-shows and stuff like that. He does a wonderful job.
He's charismatic as hell. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, if you talk about guys who have a job for life, he's got a job for life as long as he wants to keep talking. That's it. You know, and like I said, he seems to be at peace with it. So if he's at peace with it, I think the company's at peace with him not returning, and nobody's going to push him. Absolutely not. If he's not comfortable, if the doctors aren't comfortable, he's going to listen. And that's one of the things that the old guys, I hate to say the old guys, but back in the day, people used to push themselves through injuries and conceal them actually from the office. They wouldn't tell anybody that they were hurt, and they'd push on through and just make it worse. So,
you know, that was also in a day where if you didn't work, you didn't get paid.
Exactly.
The contract was a different time today. Yeah.
It was a different time. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Any thoughts to this with Big E?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like March 2022 that since he's been out. So it's been over 2 years. And I think he has been such a great addition to the pre-show. And I know he's been doing more community events and being out, giving back to all of the cities that, you know, WWE travels to. And I know he very much enjoys that. And so I think if he can find a place and still be happy about it within the WWE universe, and it's not in ring, and he's safe and happy and healthy, I think that's all we can hope for. And we can at least still see him on television. But I think he just, you know, obviously he's being smart about it. And, you know, he's just trying to take care of himself and his family. And I think, you know, you can't fault him for that. Even though all of us would love to see him, you know, return. And I think someone put in the chat, like maybe they're building up to a big return. And, you know, where he, you know, aligns himself with the right guys, but we'll see, you know, we can only hope for the best for him.
Yeah. Leonard Jones with the comment Emily was referring to, or does it set up for a return to which, to help whichever is a good guy left against the other? I mean, that would be a spectacular swerve, bro, if we could get, if this was actually the setup for, if Big E was cleared and didn't tell anybody and nobody knew, that would be a tremendous payoff. Because you know, we miss him, so we'll see what happens. Definitely. There. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens with Final Testament too. They need some boost. All right, two final storylines let's touch on before we call it a night here. Let's go to the number one contenders match for the women's tag team titles. The Unholy Union, which is Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, they are sitting ringside, and we are going to see the match between Pure Fusion Collective. That is a new name for the Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler, Sonya Deville trio, up against Damage Control, which of course is Io Sky and Kairi Sane. Very good produced backstage promos by for both to just kind of set the scene and give some gravitas to each team. They have a match. Basically, though, the champions end up interfering, breaking up the pinfall DQ. And so nobody's a number one contender. And so it's going to backfire on the tag champs because now they've announced that next week is a triple threat. So triple threat. But Emily, I thought that, you know, I want to see the women's tag division succeed. I have thought that there's been some slow treading or slow sledding rather in the previous weeks. I thought tonight was actually maybe the best concentrated effort of we're giving team name. We're giving a nice WWE produced vignette package for each of them and promo. And I felt like tonight was like, all right, yeah, I'm on board. I'm interested in everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do this if you're building for, you know, a number one contender match. Like, you have to build to this. I like the packages, the entrances, you know, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, they had all the great entrance. They're setting it up, you know, even though they're sitting ringside, it sets up that they're always watching their competitors. They got an eye on that tag team division. I was a little somewhat disappointed that it ended in this way. I really wanted a more solidified win so that we could have not necessarily a triple threat match. I wanted
it makes no sense if you're the champions to do that. why would you break? Yeah.
Making it harder on yourself by saying, oh, I'm going to have to fight four people instead of two. It's building to, it's obviously giving this new faction more time to showcase what they can do. I know people have questions about the name. I kind of want more info on that name.
Which one? There's a couple of names.
the Pure Fusion Collective. I think it's trending.
That's the new gym that wants you to come sign up for $3 a month.
Is it $5.99 a month?
It's $3.99 a month.
$3.99. Oh, okay, $3.99.
Yeah, you know, free daycare, half sanitized, tanning. It's fine. You go there.
I missed that promo, I guess.
Yeah, you missed that.
I thought it was going to be a totally different with like the with Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler in it. And I was like, oh, it has to be like a really badass name.
Yeah.
And
to Danny Coleman's or Danny Cochran's point in the chat, it could be like the latest Logan Paul in the Prime energy line. If it's a pure, fusion, Jimmy, from a referee standpoint, this is kind of Bozo the Clown. Why would you do this? You can just face one team. Why would you disrupt the process here? I know that the combatants were pushed into them because they're sitting ringside, so tempers flare, but it is a bit of like all right, dummies, now you got two teams to fight.
Yeah, why let the facts get in the way of a good storyline? It is kind of confusing why the heels would get themselves in that kind of predicament in the way they did. I didn't like that. And as far as the names go, why not, you know, have them cut their promo backstage and say, instead of we got a cool new name, like, what are they? Unholy Union and Damage Control. Guess what? We're so bad, we don't need a name.
Well, I know
it's for merchandising purposes, yeah. T-shirts, all that stuff. But at the same time, no name required.
Well, I will say that when you have this, just in this alone, when you have this many individual names that are largely unproven, I do think you need to package them as something. Mm-hmm. You know, it is hard to keep score at home. You know, I I'll be fair. I preach to this, and I sometimes harp on this with AEW. You know, sometimes present something as if somebody's watching for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard if somebody's for the first time ever, and I got to keep track of all 8 or 9 of these ladies, right, who's with who. Give them a team name. Give, you know, again, even the Pure Fusion Collective, they all wore like yellow tonight. You know,
but
we're the same color.
You know? Shorten the name where it's easy for the fans to remember.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see.
Pure Fusion. That's it.
Tune in next Monday to our reactions of how the title match goes. All right. Last story here for the night. Early in the day, we get Pete Dunne empty arena. And he's talking about how Sheamus has never elevated him. All he did was he elevated Sheamus. All he got out of it was a stupid nickname in Butch. Never wants to hear the name Butch again. later backstage in the night, Sheamus says he tried to help raise up the young Englishman. Ludwig Kaiser comes in. He says it's not over between he and Sheamus. And then just as Sheamus is distracted by that, he's attacked by Dunn, who hits him with a shillelagh, you know, maybe breaks his hand. A whole ordeal. We get a match announced for next week, Dunn versus Sheamus. Emily, are we in the resurrection of Pete Dunn? Are you buying it?
I'm buying it. I mean, we saw Pete Dunn on we talked about him last week on NXT. I think this is we could see a new chapter in Dunn's wrestling career right now. For sure.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Baby, I just put it in the chat, and I had it already on my notes. If they wanted to keep Imperium together, obviously Vinci's been out and gone. I don't know what's going to happen with Vinci. But if they wanted to keep the numbers game to Imperium, Kaiser's never had a reason to break away from Gunther. They've been trying to sell Kaiser as a single star, but they've never had like any kind of like emotional split.
Right.
Pete Dunne's European, so he would fit in that. Like, could you see them maybe adding Pete Dunne and making a new Imperium, and maybe Pete Dunne and Kaiser can, again, be helpful hands to Gunther retaining his title?
Of course they can do it. I wouldn't want to see it, though. No. I'm not a big fan of that. No. Okay. I think Pete Dunne, he fights like a big guy. For a guy his size, he fights like a big man, and I like that. That he, you know, he's a tough brawler. Kaiser, I think, is going to... He's got star on him as far as a single competitor goes, for sure. Gunther doesn't need it. I like the fact that Gunther's just a guy who he just wants to fight everybody. He doesn't care. I like that. So I wouldn't want to see Pete Dunne joining any groups right now.
I love him individually as just the Bruiserweight. The first time I saw him on WWE as the Bruiserweight, and then I saw him with a tattoo on his knee. I mean, I got tattoos on myself. And I was like, on my knee?
No.
No, sir. No. That ain't cool. All right. That was Monday Night Raw. Jam-packed Raw from Austin, Texas. We're on the road to Bash of Berlin. We're building to Bash of Berlin. We're potentially building to Bad Blood. We're maybe even a little more long-term building to Survivor Series. That's a beautiful thing. All right, let's final thoughts. Ladies first. Emily, this has been awesome. I hope we get to do more of this.
Yes. Give me your
final thoughts on anything that is still in your brain, and please plug the hell out of everything you're doing. We will give you the floor for that one.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think this was a really well-rounded Raw episode. I think, like you said, it's leading to all of these other things. It was really fun. I don't think I have any more additional thoughts. But if you all want to follow me, Emily May Heller, on all social platforms. I'm covering NXT tomorrow night here on Wrestling Inc. So, you know, come by and hang out with me there. And then one of the last Mission Pro Wrestling shows is this weekend in San Antonio. So if you're in San Antonio, come out. It's an all-women's show. It's going to be amazing. Thunder Rosa will be there. And that's what I'm working on this week. So I'm in show mode. So thank you all so much for having me. This was amazing.
Well, the chat loved you, rightfully so. So go follow her if you're not already following her. Jimmy, give me some plugs. What's going on?
Well, first of all, Raw I thought was great because every match and every backstage segment had a story attached to it, building towards Bash in Berlin. And I like that. I'm a story guy. Tell me stories that I can get invested in. They did a great job of that tonight. And as far as where you can find me here on Monday nights with Emily tonight joining us, you're welcome aboard. And it was great having you aboard. And Wednesday nights after Dynamite. And what else have I got going on? Oh, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, our producer, holds the glue together. Last week, Kevin Kelly. This week, Vita Scott.
Nice.
Is joining us, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Two of my favorites.
Get to catch up with her because I remember her from their days working here in Ontario on the local scene. So that is going to be a lot of fun. My ref and rants, which I do from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms. Little things, you know, little critiques that I think where screws can be tightened. They're my opinions, and you can disagree with me, but let's be respectful and stop being like Twitter trolls. And I got something in the works when I'm able to announce it. I will announce it. So, and you guys will be the first to know.
Jimmy, the key is the mute button. The mute button is key because you don't have, you don't have to read them, but they don't get the satisfaction of knowing it. So they just keep typing and typing and typing. And you don't even got to see it.
Mute button.
All right. thanks to everybody. Really appreciate it. It's been a fun show tonight. Jimmy's been great. Emily's been great. Follow me at Justin LeBar across all the socials. Of course, I'm here every Monday night, most Monday nights at least, on Wrestling Inc. Thursday or Fridays, normally on Busted Open with the Spar with LeBar, with myself, Dave LaGreco, Thunder Rosa, Nick Nemeth, whoever's showing up. I spar with all of them. They all put me in my place, but it's fun. And then every single Sunday, Busted Open, 9 a.m. to noon, I have got the entire 3 hours. They let me run the asylum for 3 hours every single Sunday. Myself and my awesome partner, Jonathan Hood. I think we might have a really cool interview this Sunday, but I can't talk about it now. But bottom line, just follow us all on social. If you want more, we're all giving you more. We're everywhere. Can't hold us down. That's the beauty of what's going on today.
It's a teaser, ladies and gentlemen.
Teaser. All right, so that's going to be good. Good night to everybody, wherever you're at. If you're watching live, thanks for staying up late with us, wherever you're at. If you're checking us out after the fact, again, tweet all of us. Let me know. Are you, like, making breakfast? Are you on the commute to work? Are you, like, procrastinating and, like, ignoring your boss, ignoring your teacher, ignoring your spouse? Whatever you're doing, I'd love to know how we are being applied to your life. Like whatever it is. I mean, I would love to know. So please tweet all of us and tell us, and I will retweet it. I would love to share it. I think it's fascinating. Thanks to everybody. Be safe. Be kind to each other. Pro wrestling, it's a buffet. We're all here for every single flavor. Let's enjoy it all. Let's celebrate it all. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Wrestling Inc. Be good.